Stay tuned now as Phil Silvers guest stars on The Beverly Hillbillies.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I'm going to be walking around favoring my right side today. I'll probably be walking around in a circle.
Oh, that's bad if you're a cat.
The headphones here are just a little messed up, and they, when you buy stuff that's cheap, you have a shelf life, and
but it's great while it works. It's great while it works. Now, have you ever had a cat or an animal? I think it's called turnaround disease or turnabout disease.
No, I haven't.
Stuck in a circle.
Well, it has to do with the equilibrium in their head. Our cat that I got with the marriage, Molly, she got it, and at the end, I mean, she was cancerous and everything. But the only funny symptom was watching her walk in circles and then flopping down.
Wow. It's hours of amusement
be fair, Mike, this was the first instance in our marriage when I said to Carrie, she said, oh, it's really expensive to give Molly the treatment she needs. And I said, well, do it, because if you don't, you're going to say, I wish I had done it. And all it resulted in is Carrie being pregnant and me double bagging radioactive poop out of the litter box, and the cat died anyway, and it was very expensive.
We dealt this week talking about your relationship, and I think in the news today I've got a second story, I believe, that I don't know. I really didn't even pre-read it, so it may have benefits, it may not, but you'll be the judge of that.
Great, and, I look forward to it. Does it have to do with radioactive poop?
No radioactive poop.
Okay,
but
that's
I'm going to tell you,
the pregnancy did not come from that.
Nobody knows. Pregnant. Nobody knows.
The radioactive poop came from the pregnancy.
He set it up like the cat.
Where the pregnancy came from the radioactive poop.
No, Carrie
poop.
Was pregnant, or so she claimed to be pregnant, so she didn't have to deal with the radioactive poop.
Mike, just make sure your headphone cord is plugged in all the way.
I did.
That will trigger your left right.
Yeah, that's the issue.
And the circuit breaker is on.
I was giving some thought today. A lot of thought to what I have done to deserve being embraced into this Colombian family.
Oh, your Spanish
South American
family.
Family that has reached out and been so amazingly kind to me and to my wife, Carla, and to my son. Now, because I don't know where it comes from, but because it's just been such a windfall for us. We are now in this pipeline of coaches and taking my son to get instruction from people. And some people don't speak English and some people do. And last night we drove out to, far outside of Fort Myers to a predominantly Hispanic community. And this guy had a great setup and was just an absolutely brilliant batting coach for my son. And I was reflecting on how I said, we're so blessed to have these people as friends because they've been doing this for a long time. And I came to this conclusion. I think what it is that if you genuinely like people, if you really like people, language doesn't really necessarily matter at all. I think it's a vibe. And I think that they picked up on the vibe. I came in here a couple of weeks ago talking about the parents and the clique. Of these parents that Josh had said to me, the only way they'll let you in is if your kid plays. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart, that that's what it's all about. And at this level, I find that laughable, but it's true. And then on the other side, this family who at the games root for their kids with such unbridled joy and the energy and the language. You know, I think really what it comes down to is my absolute love of language. I love it. I love it so much, and I got into it, and it was a bit of a risk to ask my friend AJ, who speaks English, you know, how I would say, say. And then the first time when I essentially got permission, when I went, eso, papi,
right.
And I just saw them fall off their chairs laughing at me. And then that just gave me carte blanche to keep doing it. And then what came out of that was people walking up and greeting me, that the one other father there, I think it's Anthony's father, came up to me and he greets me, and there's very, and he speaks very little English, and then AJ speaks a lot of English, and so it's just.
Do they look at you as El Jester? I mean, do they love the fact that you?
No, it's just no. We went out to during the tournament. We went out with my son's friend Sebastian. And his mom to the taqueria that I talked about and sat down. It has been so joyful an experience to be part of this that now I just can't wait to get out there. When before, I just was trying to fit in where I didn't fit in. But essentially, I now have fit into a family where I'm watching the practice the other night, and they're going a mile a minute. I don't understand a word they're saying, but I am as comfortable as an individual can be just sitting there. And then in the pipeline with these coaches, and I know we are going to a coach probably next week or maybe even this Friday. No, not this Friday, but next week, who doesn't speak a word of English. And we're going to rely on my son's studying Spanish since he's been 7 or 8 years old to get us through that. But I think what the moral of the story is that if you like people, it just doesn't matter. And I think in this day and age, when you're thinking about that, you know, as we're driving far out. Yeah.
Have you ever been that way with someone that you didn't speak the language with? Because I have a story that absolutely backs up what you're saying.
Rob, there was a Russian hooker back in
Stop
19.
It. No, that's not a right. You
no,
can't say that.
I really think that I'm trying to think. Yes. The answer is yes.
Okay.
Where it would be someone who doesn't speak your language that you gravitate to based on their vibe, and the kindness that we've been shown is off the charts. And I don't know if that happens all the time, but we are just so pleased to be part of it. And then the kid who's my son's, who trained with my kid last night, is just a delightful kid with a great attitude and so much fun just to be around. And I don't know, it's just a check mark for unknown source of joy for me. It's great.
Have they heard your voices or any party tricks?
No.
But, you haven't done the sneezing duck for them?
No, because there are no little kids lying around. But
okay.
There are a couple of little kids, but I haven't done that yet. The thing I've done is that I know it's because the accent when I do the cheer, like eso papi or bue papi or something like that, is so...
it's imitative so and not off. Organic.
But the joy, and here's the thing.
Can you give us one of your yells from the game so we can hear?
Eso! That's the big one. Eso! Okay. Which is like, all right. But the thing that's cool about... They take it very seriously. They love their baseball. They want their kids to do well. But at the same time... They have fun with it, and they can laugh with it as well, which I haven't experienced in many little leagues that I've been a
part
of. So I'm having a blast is the point I wanted to make starting the show today. Just thought I'd share that randomly. You know, I just can't
help myself. In 1999, when Carrie and I were in Europe, we were visiting the family that she was the host for an exchange student back in the 80s. So we're staying at a house in Germany, and there was some, kids there, well, Carrie's age, that wanted to go out that night. This is, 25 years ago. And I didn't want to go out to a loud thumping. I remember the name of it. It was called the Bongo Bongo Bar.
Oh, so you've always been this way.
And I said, you know what? You guys go.
He's never wanted to go out.
Did they have basements there?
Hey, you know what? Flying to Europe is sort of getting out of your house, I would have to admit.
Well, when you get the opportunity. Yeah.
We did all this stuff, but that was not a night that I wanted to go to Bongo Bongo Bar. It probably had to do with several nights previous. I just wanted to rest.
Yeah, I would ballot. I've been there. I know.
And so I'm left alone in the house, and the father of the exchange student comes and knocks on the door, and in the most broken English, he says, "You should not be alone. Come watch television." So I got up, and we ended up that night killing like a bottle of German liqueur and tossing a German-English dictionary back and forth to ask questions. And I had the best time
with
him with like 40 words is all we had. And it was just so much fun. He was a good guy. He was a really good guy. But you're right about vibing on people. It's 100%.
Yeah, and if, you know, and this is for, I think that the what little I know about it is that if you really have a kid that's interested in a foreign language and you can manage to do it, it's very expensive in some cases to get your kid over to a foreign country. The best way to do it is to immerse yourself in it. And so if you immerse yourself in it, you go to, you know, you spend a semester in a foreign country, you and took, that's the way you do it.
You took Spanish in high school or college? What did you do?
I took Spanish in high school, and I don't speak. Michael's been studying Spanish since he was 7 years old.
Yeah. If they dropped you, like, in the middle of Spain, do you think you could cobble it together?
Yeah, but I don't know how easy it would be because I don't have...
You'd go to the library and the bathroom.
Sounds came easy. Accents came easy. Accents come easy. Sounds come easy. If but the actual speaking and memorization of the language is tougher. I've dabbled. Over the years, we've had sponsors over the years that have been language sponsors that I've tried. But I haven't traveled extensively, so I've never really felt the need to do that unless I was going to a foreign country like Josh did, you know, when he went to Europe over the summer.
We got lost in France, and I was able to call up enough high school French to get us out of it. But I didn't know
the French
was in there.
Don't like English people mauling their language.
That's more of a Paris English-speaking thing. Paris people. Is sort of in the center of France as a bullseye. The further you get away from Paris, the more friendly the French people are. That's what I found. Mm-hmm. But I think the French people
that
of
doesn't
Paris
surprise me.
You
know,
are
like most cities.
They're very busy and they don't have time for you looking for the word. But in Nice, everyone is nice or nice in Nice. Yeah.
Well, who wouldn't be in that part of it? You went there. Is that as beautiful as they say it is? That sounds like incredible.
It's probably a 10 out of 10. Yeah, I would say.
TJ Collins writes, what a hero, comfortable with Spanish speakers.
And I agree with him. Mike, you are a hero.
That's you love that because that's mocking me.
And, no.
Yes, it is. Yes, it. You're joyful with that. Look at the lid. That's like one of the few times this week you've been truly happy.
TJ, I'm saying is TJ is being an a-hole.
Yes.
And I'm sort of doubling down to emphasize the fact that he's being an a-hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, TJ's probably threatened by anything that would be nice and compassionate.
TJ doesn't speak Spanish or anything. He barely speaks English.
I think we need more, you know, of everything.
I agree.
That's nice. But I can still be a dick to TJ.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps the Kill Tony podcast would be more TJ's speed. I think you'd like that. I think TJ, he might have a, how about going out to a local MMA fight where the rules are that if you knock someone down and they're semi-conscious, that's when you get to kick them.
Oh,
that's
you mean
what
like
I think TJ
the regional
like.
MMA stuff that where they have straw around the octagon?
Right.
Yeah, I like
those. Where
I think
the bigger fights break out in the audience.
Right.
I just figured out what TJ stands for. The jerk. It's the jerk Collins.
Now, Rolando, on the other hand, showing the proper amount of respect by saying good morning, legends.
Thank you.
I like that.
But I think Bruins has it right, that you're just getting ready for the Bad Bunny halftime show.
I will plead old man.
Yeah.
Please, someone enlighten me.
None of his songs are English.
Enlighten me as to the Bad Bunny. Hispanic songs? Is that what it all is?
Okay. Yeah, it's all Spanish songs.
So Bad Bunny and lots of controversy over that, right? Because some people say,
well, some
why
people
are we doing that? Let's get a country act in there. Come on now. You know?
I hear tell of a competing halftime show that will be done elsewhere that will be all American. And it will go at the same time. Yes.
Tell us more.
It's a really bad... Here's the problem.
Here's the problem, Mike.
No, the problem is the name, All American.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a stupid name that makes it sound like, oh, we're anti this. Instead of they are trying to make one that's got more family-friendly lyrics. The Bad Bunny, the Bad Bunny music is not appropriate for children.
But to have it, so is Aerosmith is not appropriate
You're
for
right,
children.
Right.
If you want to go that
there's
way.
Lots of things that are not appropriate.
Yeah, I mean it's music. Mm-hmm. Come on now. I mean, really, who cares?
Everyone's focused on the problem here. What football needs, Mike, is a good bunny.
Does Bad Bunny spend a lot of his time singing about intercourse?
Why do you think they call him
Bad Bunny?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he likes to do it.
Like
and he
a
likes
rabbit.
To do it badly.
Yeah.
He has a bad need to multiply like a rabbit.
Bad meaning good. Good Bunny.
I know as a guy that
and
used
another
to
I got
to
give Bruins rule. I think All American, even though Bad Bunny is from Puerto Rico.
I know that's what I said. The name is stupid. The name is adding controversy when really they just want to do something different.
I remember
as a guy who ran church Super Bowl parties for decades and would have to censor out the halftime shows. I would be thankful for something like this to flip over to.
Wait a second.
Yes.
What is done at a church Super Bowl party that would be different than, like, let's say I went to a bar. I went to the Mad Hatter.
More kids getting molested in the bathroom.
That's not okay, but probably true.
I would have to run the Super Bowl on about a 30-second delay because there's movie trailers and beer commercials.
How
that
would
I'd
you
have
run the delay
out.
Live? Would you
with
like
with a TiVo? Like back when TiVos were early on TiVo.
TiVo, I haven't heard TiVo.
I'd be up in a little sound booth, all closed up with two TiVos,
right?
Where I was watching ahead of time to see what I need to censor.
Yes.
And one.
But don't the kids get everything everywhere anyway?
Yeah, they do.
They do. This was.
I will say this. We have changed a rule in the O'Mara household where the school where my son attends classes says no cell phones till eighth grade. They're very, very forward thinking on that. And I've done a lot of reading about cell phones. We have done now implemented at 12 years old. You get to use your cell phone on the weekends and only on the weekends. And it is, I am not exaggerating here when I say it was an immediate change. It was an immediate change.
What way?
In behavior, better behavior for us, like night and day. It's just there's more engagement on everything else. It's really I think I'm not the only parent that picks up their kids and immediately their nose is in the phone and they don't want to have two words to say. So just on the weekend, that's cool. On the weekend where we need a little alone time too. So go in your room and play your games on the phone with the kids.
I'm scared to death of the thought of Carrie without a phone.
Well, no, not Carrie. I'm talking about a child, Rob.
So am I.
I'm not talking about your wife. Can't wait to get this second story.
But can you imagine? I mean, what you've got is a very valuable. You don't necessarily want your son to be distracted, but let's say there's someone else in your family that you don't necessarily want to engage with at all times. By giving them a phone, it's a very suitable distraction.
The thing that I noticed, and I don't know. I'm not saying that this is the sole reason, but I know when that phone is not involved, it makes for a better kid. I don't know whether it's directly a result of that or we just got on to. I don't know what it is.
Do you have a landline? You don't, do you?
No.
I was going to say you should let him talk on the phone as much as he wants, but make him have a landline.
No.
So all he can do is talk.
The phone's not the problem. It's YouTube. It's the focus, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think YouTube has algorithms that target all sorts of different age groups, and that doesn't help too. And if you hear the language, it's kids are exposed to so much more than we ever were in this day and age. But getting back to the whole Super Bowl thing,
yes.
And the All American, what is that? What is that thing?
Is it
a country show?
You can bet Lee Greenwood will be there somehow.
No, I think it's going to be I think it's a Christian worship show.
Hey, that includes Lee. Lee can do that.
Kid Rock's doing it or Snoop Dogg's doing it. But I think they're going with the
Snoop Dogg.
It's being put on by Charlie Kirk's organization. And from what I hear, they are bringing back a lot of the performers that performed at his funeral ceremony thing.
Oh, God. All right.
Memorial. Okay. So a lot of worship. Music.
And then there's always the option of the puppy bowl. If you want to switch over during halftime, you can luck at dogs, which is good.
Yes. Do they still have the lingerie bowl? Do they still
I think
do
that's
that?
A pay-per-view event when it even existed. I don't
I
know
think
if it's
that's
still
gone. Right. I think we're
that's
not allowed to.
Did you do that
that's
at the church?
That's really
yeah,
a shame.
Yeah.
Didn't
the
they just have the Victoria's Secret thing? Didn't they just have that? Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how I know that.
Did they even look at your tape, Mike? I saw you weren't on the stage.
Oh, Mike, that kind of stuff hasn't happened for months. What? What kind of stuff?
Talking about the bad touch at the church Super Bowl.
That hasn't happened for
that
months.
That hasn't happened in months.
It is my thought when it comes to religious organizations and that kind of behavior that when you attempt to repress, you somehow create more of a hidden threat.
Urgency.
That's how I would.
You created an urgency to see it.
A hidden threat, which is if you cause things to be less open, you have more of a propensity for bad actors sliding in. That's why you've got so many youth pastors that get into a little difficult situation. Sometimes,
I think if you try to present perfection, you're going to fail.
I think so, too.
I disagree. To anyone who listens to this show will disagree.
That we try to present perfection
each and every day. That's what we do. That's right.
That's funny.
Josh, did you have to censor commercials at your church?
Yeah, commercials, movie trailers. And it just got worse every year. And
every movie trailer
I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to put you on the spot for just a second.
Yeah.
I'm at a cocktail party, or I'm at a post church service
cocktail party.
When they have the little reception.
Oh, the social hour. Yeah.
Well, okay. Cookies and punch in the room.
Okay.
What is the worst thing I could say to what's the subject that would be frowned upon? If I if it's political,
every church is different. My church. Nothing that would be frowned upon.
Nothing.
You would just be open to discussion.
But yet you're censoring.
Yeah, I'm censoring because just because it's there doesn't mean we want that. We don't want to welcome that in. But it's not like we're going to push someone out. Unless it's like, I'm trying to think, is there anything you could say? No. But if you strip down into your underwear,
I've got something
we'll
I would make it up. It wouldn't be real, but I would walk in and I say, I found this brand new gospel group called the Fornicators that are really terrific.
But that's the difference. I'm not censoring words and talk and conversation. It would be images. It's a TV program.
Oh, images. Yeah. Oh, like boobies.
Yeah.
Boobies. And, I'll give you a great example. I censor, too, in my own home. In fact, we stopped watching it all together because we censored it for ourselves because we just didn't like it. But Monster, the Ed Gein story.
Why did you not want to watch it?
Oh, God.
It was horrible.
We were done. We were done when he got the old lady out on the kitchen table and was about to do the nasty.
I figured out the name for the dead old lady
dug up from the grave to,
Figured out the name of that scene, Mike, at least for me, is that's when he was being a gynecologist.
Oh, my God. It was that's disgusting. That is true.
That is, Josh, I don't know why you write those jokes.
That's him. He doesn't know how. And you got to accept that. He's never known how. He was never taught properly. His father was off chasing tail. Never had the talk with Rob.
I didn't know.
So you watched the whole thing?
Yeah, twice. No, only once.
Very, very, very weird.
But very, very weird. With me, it was.
I don't know what they're going for.
But I was so invested, I didn't want to maybe there was something.
See,
great
I
at
can
the
bail.
End.
I can bail up to the second of the last episode if I really get turned off or something. Now, can I pivot right now
for a second, please.
Onto the subject I wanted to discuss with you guys. I was recommended. I think it's called The Last Frontier. It's about a plane crashes in Alaska with a bunch of convicts in it. And I dove in, and pretty good little scene to open up with. But then I wrote this down, and judge it any way you wish.
Okay.
I want my violence more sincere in TV and films. I've talked about this before. I've talked about the fact that I'll give you a classic example. In the movie Goodfellas.
Yeah.
The violence in Goodfellas is so gritty and real that it's a turn off to violence. All right. But it scares you because it's so hyper violent in that. When you have 40 people that are, stabbing and shooting and being flipped in the air and do that you lose me because it's so totally desensitizing.
Over the top and desensitizing, yeah.
Yeah, and so spoiler alert, I'm going to give you the first episode, all right, where I bailed. The sheriff or the marshal goes out by helicopter at the scene of this plane crash, and they find a guy that's barely alive in the snow, and he goes, ambush. And then all these red jacket, all these red suited, orange jumpsuited convicts come out of the woodwork and start attacking these guys and their flips and punches and all. And I'm like, okay, you turned it into a Marvel movie.
I was
going
to say, it sounds to me like Star Wars violence, where there's lots of action, but no one gets hurt.
Well, and that, I don't care for that.
Yeah,
I think
you want the people to get hurt.
What I want is I want in any of my, well, not, if you're going to see a superhero movie, you don't care anyway, so it doesn't matter, right? You're suspending, you're totally
right.
Suspending reality.
Right.
If I'm seeing something that's based on a bunch of prisoners and a bunch of lawmen, and so I want to see it. I want my violence to be credible, so that it's more of a believable scenario.
We
Does
all
that
agree.
Make sense?
We all agree with you about Goodfellas. That's got some of the most intense and believable violence ever. But it is an older film. Can you think of a more modern project that has sincere violence
How do you judge sincere violence? Because you're just judging it off other movies.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't seen this stuff happen in real life to know what would be sincere.
In the internet age, probably people, whether they want to or not, have stumbled across something that would be horrible to look at. But I think that when you talk about it, it's not multiples. I think it's the quantity. When you overdo the quantity of violence, when you overdo the number of the body count. I'll give it. The reason I don't like what's his name, Keanu Reeves and Tom Wick.
He's not John Wick, is he?
Yeah, John Wick. Yeah, you got it.
John Wick.
Yeah,
John Wick is.
Tom Wick is his brother.
It's the body count. Tom Wick. The John Wick franchise is the body count. So the body count's what I don't like. Even Scarface, which at the beginning had a little bit of off-putting violence, but then by the end, you got 400 guys running up the stairs of his mansion. It lost all credibility for me,
Hot take from Rob Spiewak. Scarface, not a very good movie. When all is said and done, it's
but boy,
not
did they hype that violence, right? Do you remember the day back in the day? And find out the year that Scarface was
83, I think.
Was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they said they were going to give it an X rating because of the violence, and that did nothing but get
exactly what the producers wanted to
see. Pour into the theaters. Yeah. That's what it was.
1983.
Yeah.
For Scarface.
Okay. So, I got turned off to the. And I love a good thriller. Yeah. I really do.
Two episodes so far have been out of The Last Frontier, so you're on it early. Did you watch both episodes?
I don't think I'd go back. I don't think I'd go back because
tomorrow
it just doesn't.
Episode three.
It doesn't have any. It doesn't Apple have TV. A lot of credibility for me with that. I think when you take a great crime, I'll give you a classic example.
Okay.
Of a violent movie that was just so crafted, but they made the violence so horrific in it, and that horrific, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which is Daniel Craig, Rooney Mara, you don't have to have the body count to get my interest. I want the story of one person, not the story of because really, how often if you had a news scenario that was not somebody going into a shopping mall, but a battle between crooks and cops that had the body count that some of these shows have, it would be a story for decades.
Yeah.
It lacks credibility.
If you use that as your guide, Josh and I talked about this about Rosemary's Baby, that the horror of it is not what's going on. It's the suspense leading up to it.
Yeah.
And you don't need a huge body.
We don't have that as much as we used to.
No,
because
it's hard to do.
It's hard to do because it requires writing and crafting and building the suspense.
Making a film that will keep your interest for 80 minutes.
And not going down to Industrial Light and Magic and saying, develop me, guys flying in, through the air, shooting blades out of their fingers.
Another good example, you mentioned it earlier this week, Silence of the Lambs, building up to that one moment. Ah, the suspense is
the best.
Backbreaking. Yeah.
And we did get it this year with Weapons.
Weapons
had that slow build suspense.
The suspense is whether or not I'm going to see it. Who knows?
I'm looking at the cast of The Last Frontier.
Okay.
How distracting is Johnny Knoxville?
Because you're
talking a serious violent movie. I wouldn't cast him.
Well, I think Johnny Knoxville is a better actor than people.
I agree.
I think they associate him
with
Jackass. The only Johnny Knoxville I got when I watched it was when they did a shot of him on the plane. before things went nuts. Okay. It's really focused on this.
Isn't he on a tricycle with fireworks? Is that how it works?
Right. He was in the plane next first. To Wee Man. yeah. So, Fried, I got to agree with you that Fried says Reservoir Dogs was awesome, but sick.
But again, another suspenseful film.
But sick in that, don't you think that, look, we're human beings, we're animals, we like to watch things like this, but don't you think that at the core, I always thought a great war movie should be an anti-war movie, and a great violent movie should be an anti-violent movie.
Yeah,
you know, and that's just the way I've always looked at that. And when we have the flying through the air, multiple body counts, it just it turns it into
a cartoon. Yeah,
well, and video games the same way.
Even a movie like Saving Private Ryan, the war is just a set piece.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not the story.
Yeah. No, it's not the story. And you get the individual horror of human beings killing other human beings that I think should be put in these things. And that's just what I thought about.
If you take the reality out of it, the fact that this could never happen, a la, I'm trying to think of a disastrous movie. Example, if you didn't believe in Satan and you would say that The Exorcist could never happen, then it's just a movie. But if you start to introduce the fact in, oh my God, this was based on a true story.
Yeah.
And there are exorcists in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're touching on reality, that adds to the suspense, and that's what makes a movie scary for me. I could watch, you know, a Dracula movie or a Frankenstein movie.
And don't you agree they're few and far between? They're not enough of them?
Mike, as they say, rarer than hen's teeth.
And we would love them if there were more.
You're right.
I would love to go into a movie theater or turn on the television and watch a movie, an original from Prime or Apple, that really, really, really got me, you know, riveted and scared and all that. And that's why those movies, like great comedies, they get super spotlighted when they come along, because they don't come along very often.
I'm curious, did you ever watch the series? It was 5 seasons, I think, on A&E, Bates Motel. It was a prequel to Psycho.
No.
I would invite you to take a look at it, because it is not as gimmicky as it sounds, and the suspense and the writing and the creep factor is intense.
Okay, you watched that. Yeah, you loved that. I remember you watched a lot of that.
I loved it, yeah. Well, Psycho is one of my all-time favorites, so I'll watch any property associated with it. Mm-hmm. But I think, other than the original film, this is the best project.
Well, I don't know what it says about me with the algorithms, but it probably says that I stop on them and I watch them because I find them morbidly curious. And the body cam videos that I see all the time, when you see this guy, you know, hijacked a car and drew a weapon on cops, I wrote this down. Mm-hmm. And I welcome your opinion if you think I've got an issue.
All right.
I wrote, some things I've learned watching police body cam video. This is what I've learned.
Okay.
There are cops who really, 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 really don't want to shoot the person. All right? There are cops that really, really, and every now and then, it just appears to me that you got the cops who, you know, they've had enough. And, you know, it's just one more move that's going to get the guy turned into Swiss cheese.
Referring to the former there, the cops that really don't want to shoot, do you think that is a result of the body cam age?
No. I think it's a result of the type of person that it is, and it might be mild, you know, in many cases, a disturbed person who, you know, represents a threat, but they just don't want it to end this way. And you can tell when a cop is just really busted up by having to do this, and then you get the, you know, the person that's sideswiped 15 cars at 110 miles an hour is posing a threat to everybody and might have just participated in a shooting somewhere else, you know. And when you're watching the video, you don't have a lot of sympathy for that person either. Well, the cops don't, you know. Put
Bob
down
McCarty,
the knife, though. Please do.
Bob McCarty brings up something in the chat room. I'm curious. How did you feel about the violence in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
That's great. That's a great example, because that's totally in the area of gray between what I'm talking about. Because Once Upon a Time in Hollywood not only rewrites history to make it a fantasy, because, you know, what it would be if the Manson family got whacked by the stuntman. I think that's a great, and you can make a case for all of Tarantino's movies.
Yeah.
Are kind of fantasy violence.
Do you buy into the flamethrower?
I can't pigeonhole Quentin Tarantino. I can't because I like those movies and I like the way he handles violence in those
movies.
Do you
buy into the flamethrower at the end?
You know, it, no.
I do. I do because he had done it in a movie.
Yeah, but, so but I think that when you're talking about throwing a dog food can at somebody that breaks their nose, if you're talking about, you know, the dog, you know, but do I enjoy it? I enjoy it. So, that's a great example of something that does not fall on either side of the line right there. And, you know, we're all twisted. What would they say? What would the church people say about this discussion, Josh Soroka?
That probably lean towards a discussion of what draws you to violence and why internally we're all like bad people.
And we're all drawn to it.
Unless, Mike, you are Catholic,
might be Satan.
And then the Arlington Catholic Herald would say, don't watch that movie. Did you ever get the Catholic newspaper that would tell you what movies were okay to see and what weren't? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I believe that is it is the basest part of our human nature that we are drawn to that.
Yeah.
You can go back through history and see that, and I'm not necessarily proud of that.
Bible stories, Mike, are a lot about killing. Old Testament stuff.
Yeah.
Cain, Abel.
A lot of violence in the Bible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of sex also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No flamethrowers.
It's all people.
No flamethrowers.
Well, there's
a little flamethrower. There's the
burning bush.
Yeah, and also the flame that blocked the chariots from following Moses into the Red Sea. There was a pillar of fire. I see it on ABC.
Where's your Messiah now? All right. Well, I think we've covered everything. That's it. Good night, everyone. Thank you.
In our next episode, let's ask Josh what his favorite biblical epic motion pictures are.
Okay. I think that's more your zone. I think that's the way
you go.
But
I think it's fun.
There's like two. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks, the most fun you'll have this football season. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can actually pay off. I've been playing Prize Picks lately, and I love how quick and simple it is. You just pick more or less on at least two player projections, and that's it. In less than a minute, you can make your lineup, sit back, and enjoy the game. This week, I'm keeping an eye on Josh Allen for more than 270 passing yards, and Barkley for more than one rushing touchdown. And you can even stack the same player up to three times in one lineup, with pass yards, rush yards, and touchdowns, only on Prize Picks. And if you're like me and you want to see what other people are picking, you can follow them right in the app and copy their lineups with one click. Prize Picks operates in more than 40 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and all deposits and withdrawals are fast and secure. You can even use Apple Pay, Venmo, MasterCard, and more to pay. So download the Prize Picks app today and use the code TMOS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That code is TMOS for $50 in lineup after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show, ladies and gentlemen, is powered by Incogni. It is your personal data's bodyguard. Here's the deal. Data brokers will grab info from you.
Yep.
They'll get the names. They'll get the addresses. They get social security numbers. They sell it because there are people out there paying for the data. Scammers, spammers, I don't give a dammers. You name it. That's why your phone won't stop ringing, your inbox is a mess, and identity theft is always there. We've had data breaches forever, and it's bad. 72% increase in 2023 from the previous year. Incogni will fight back. They automatically wipe your data from over 230 brokers. They keep monitoring and push back when brokers resist. You stay off their lists, period. With four flexible plans, their protection always fits you and your family, and you're covered by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Bottom line, if your data's out there, you need Incogni. Use code TMOS at incogni.com/TMOS to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Incogni.com/TMOS. That's incogni.com/TMOS, people. I realized that when Greaseman was actually padding when he would do that.
Of course. That got to be a lot more common towards the tail end of that career.
Let's start today with, according to a new report, the internet is now officially more robot than human. Do you happen to know what I am talking about on this particular one?
Would that be the artificial intelligence?
There you go, Rob Spiewak. You didn't fall off the turnip truck.
That's right.
Over half of all articles being posted now are written by AI. Doesn't surprise me a bit.
And they're all trash.
A firm called Graphite analyzed 65,000 random articles from the last 5 years looking for signs of AI writing. If their analyzer showed more than half of an article was AI generated, they considered it to be written by AI. Before ChatGPT launched in 2022, there was basically no AI writing or very little of it, but the gap immediately started closing. Within a year, 39% of all articles were mostly written by AI. They say it's now at 52%, so we are officially in bizarro land. Isn't that, I mean, that's how it starts, guys.
It has ruined sports writing on the internet, because if there's a free agent or whatever, you can search their name, the Orioles. If there's not a hint there, there's an article about how there is.
Yeah, it's scary. Wow. It really is. I don't know why it's scary, because we say everything's scary.
Well, it is. Like, if I want to write a piece of copy and get a new take on it, I will sometimes throw it into AI and see what it comes up with.
No, not you.
Mike, it was with trepidation I even brought this up, because I knew how you would react. But
I react that way because you were one of the first. You dove in with both feet.
It spells properly.
It does. But the problem is that it doesn't. It just doesn't have any nuance, and that's what drives me crazy. There's no subtlety. AI likes to write with a lot of exclamation points. It's a DJ yes. crutch. Everything's a right. big declarative statement, and mm-hmm. that's something that I think they have not crafted yet. Is being sort of subtle or under the radar with AI. But well, I'm sure it's coming.
In this article, it says, get ready because a study in 2022 predicted we'd hit 90% AI writing by 2026. And it sounds like we're well on our way already. So we're going
to
be there.
Americans love to overachieve, Mike.
I don't know what this bodes for the future, but
it means more paid content.
You think
so? It means you're going to see Wall Street Journal, New York Times, newspapers charge more to get humans writing.
I hate it.
It sucks. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
By Viagra.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much. There you go. A psychologist shared his tip. This is for you, Rob.
Thank you.
For how to improve your relationship with just 1 minute a day.
Who has the time?
Well, you got it. 60 seconds.
All right.
Get into the routine of taking 60 seconds to give each other your full attention. Now, before we get to this, would it be something, would you go to Carrie and say, I want 60 seconds a day from you?
The last time I did that was when we were trying to have a child.
He's a funny man, Josh, isn't he? He says, give your partner your full, undivided presence. Now, I think in my house, quite often when Carla, she's been doing a lot with her brick and mortar store and wants to, can I talk to you for a second? That's what Carla will say to me. Can I talk to you for a second? And I will know that that's the cue for me to do that. So we get it fairly easily by and large. I think my experience with Carla has been that's what, she wants undivided attention when she wants it, and she's clear about asking for it. It says here, give your partner your full undivided presence. No multitasking, no phone in hand, no rushing. I can see you rushing if Carrie wanted to talk to you about something.
It depends on the topic. If it's something I think I can help with, I'll listen. And we do have moments like this every day. Mm-hmm. I would say that I actually honor that 1 minute window, but if Carrie's just telling me something about the way business runs.
I would love Carrie to be here to see what she's saying.
The way big business runs at her school, like corporate, the essential corporate interaction, but it's a principle for her. And I really can't do anything for that situation. I'll listen to it and I'll say, what you're doing is great. Just keep the course. But I don't have a solution. If it's something I have a solution to, I'm really in because I want to help her out.
Okay. So this article here, and I haven't pre-read it.
Okay.
Says make a deliberate choice to turn towards each other with openness and warmth.
Yeah.
These are four examples, and this
I'm not
article,
a very warm guy.
Four examples, and the article gives you the how-to.
Okay.
Number one, a 1 minute hug after a long day of work. Even hey, a 20,
you don't even have to talk.
Even a 20-second hug can lower cortisol and boost the bonding hormone. No?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Number two, a moment of gratitude.
Like thanks for dinner?
Before bed, each of you shares one thing you appreciated that day. It could be big or small. You just have to be consistent and do it every night.
No, no, no. By the time I lay down in bed, the only thing I'm thinking is, please don't let her talk.
Number three, a quick morning check-in. Take a minute in the AM to ask, what's one thing you're carrying today? I hate that term.
No, that's stupid.
That's psychobabble. No, that I don't that's like. AI. That's where it loses me.
That's AI writing this article.
Yeah. But you should, I mean, yeah, you have to say good morning. How you doing? What are you looking forward to today? We do that.
Take a minute in the AM to ask, what's one thing you're carrying today?
Help me, AI.
We also take 1 minute every day to watch a bit of the Minions on our computers.
The only thing I've got so far is the gratitude and the hug. Mm-hmm. Carla says she, in the morning especially, she likes a hug. So periodically, I did it this morning. I will do just a hug, not a minute, but just because I think after about 10 seconds, it gets a bit creepy.
Especially if you hug from
timer around.
Yeah. It's really creepy if you hug from behind for a minute.
Yeah. Ooh. Let's see. So the morning check-in.
The last time Carrie tried to hug me, it lasted a minute, but it was around my neck. And it was her hands.
Like in a strangling
position? I'm not here to comment on
anything. Here's the last one. A silent ritual. You could try deep breathing or even just hold hands. Do it for 60 seconds a day and you'll feel more connected.
Really hard to
I'm not trying to be schmaltzy here. I'm not trying to be, I have it all figured out. I just happen to be in a good space. At least I think this is, when I say this, this is fully in the don't get happy category.
All right.
But I do that where we will just sit and we will hold hands. We did it when sometimes when we're watching the game. And, you know, it was late in the day. We were tired, and we were just sitting there doing that. I do the hug, and I do the, occasionally I do the gratitude. Not every day. I think saying something along the lines of, what's one thing you're carrying today, and how can I support you? That just sounds like such BS, you know? If you phrase it a different way, maybe it's all right.
Carrie would say the mortgage, and I don't want to carry that. But the far as, you know what, I'm not going to be schmaltzy either, but of all those things, the one I agree with is holding hands. Mm-hmm. If you're in a situation where you can hold hands, I think that is very, very...
How long have we traveled around the country sitting next to each other? And how many flights did we take where we did that?
I know, before I finally remembered to bring the handcuff key, so we didn't have to.
And those 60-second hugs are just too much.
Well, Mike wanted...
You'll be landing in Denver in 2 minutes. So get the key.
I remember during my internship, Josh, Mike used to request 30 separate 2-second hugs. Because he said they added up to a minute.
Absolutely. I really enjoy it. Speaking of breathing, I do this now. I'm doing it. I've got this from somewhere. I do 5-second breathe in, hold the breath for 5 seconds, 5-second breathe out. And I do that when I'm trying to fall asleep. I recommend it. Give it a try. It's this.
It's the basis of guided meditation, Mike. You're onto something. That's what they do.
It helps. Yeah. It really helps. It makes me get to... I don't have a lot of trouble falling asleep, but it makes me get to sleep faster. And maybe you could do that for when your mind's going.
Does Carla ever say after the inhale, hold it?
Hold it as long
hold
as you can.
Hold it as long as you can. Then
Michael, he's out.
Go get your phone.
thump. Pope Leo. His loyalty may be to God, but he was born and raised in Chicago.
Oh, boy. Pope guy, buddy.
So the White Sox are a close second, and that became very apparent this past Sunday when Leo was cruising through Vatican City in the Popemobile following Mass. Tens of thousands of people were lining the streets, and some joker who probably wasn't a local yelled, "Go Cubs!" And the Pope temporarily forgot about the whole love thy neighbor thing. He shouted back, "Han perdido! They lost!" Han Perdido is basically they lost in Spanish, and the Cubs did indeed lose to the Milwaukee Brewers in the National League Divisional Series, and now they're playing the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have won two, right, Josh? Is it the Dodgers up 2-0?
Yeah, I think it's 2-0, and I think Blue Jays Mariners is 1-1.
Yep.
Tommy Lasorda can do no wrong. He's a great manager.
Oh, that's how. That's the last time Rob paid attention to baseball.
Fernando on the mound tonight?
I don't know. Yoda was originally going to be blue or purple.
No.
And that's right up to the final screenplay for The Empire Strikes Back, which described him as bluish. Funny, you don't look bluish.
That's the greatest ever. That's so great.
Early concept art for the film has him light blue. Or pink, or even colorless.
Oh, you know what? If he was pink, he'd look so much like a scrot. Pinky because he does anyway.
Ballsack, I am.
It's just a scrota.
Pinch and curl, you will. A novelization that came out in 1980, the same year as the movie, describes Yoda as blue-skinned. He would work blue or green.
Yeah, well, I mean,
blue or green. Like a grayish blue.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can't do like a sky blue. Or like, you know what? What if he was the color of your microphone screen?
Oh, that's too blue.
That's way too blue.
Way too blue. A Marvel Comics adaptation of the movie that also came out in 1980 has him looking purple in some scenes with long white hair. No one seems to know why. No one seems to know why Yoda green he was. But it sounds like the decision was made late in the game, and the people who produced these tie-in materials were using outdated descriptions or pictures. And we all love Yoda. Yoda, the little scrot.
Yeah, very smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yoda. Smart he is, Rob.
He lived in Dagobah, Mike.
Horny I am.
Oh, yes.
Very finally lonely. Today, Gene Simmons.
Oh, good.
A lot of Gene in the news lately. We had a story where he drove headfirst into a parked car in Malibu. And
with his brother, Stephen Simmons.
There's video of, no, that was Alec Baldwin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Celebrities hitting cars. It looks like the Gene is lucky he didn't drive off a cliff and into the ocean. You know, if you've ever been out to that part of California, You know, very steep, very dangerous. According to a video that TMZ obtained from his recent car crash, the Kiss Rocker's SUV delivered the brunt of the damage, according to TMZ, to a truck that was parked along Pacific Coast Highway. The truck's hood is bent and crumpled, while Gene's Lincoln Navigator looks mostly unharmed.
Of course he drives a Lincoln Navigator.
I've got them. I carry a lot of materials.
I'm wondering, is comfort important to you?
Always.
Gene's car, by the way, compared to the truck, was longer, bigger, and had more girth. And it had also
been
with...
You're disgusting.
It had been with thousands of cars before.
Oh, no.
That's it. Thank you. There you are. So, salute. We had the Pope. We had marital advice. We had everything.
That was a good news guy. Who do you think the third big star to get in our car wreck is going to be?
I don't have a funny line for that.
No, I'm serious. I mean, who could it be?
Do you think they come in threes?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's been two pretty hot on each other. So,
Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, I think that's a good guess.
And when she gets in her car wreck, she'll be unhurt, but she'll get out in a bra and those leggings.
I love it.
It's just my own little thing.
I'm
drinking it right now, and I am drinking this, ladies and gentlemen. This is a new Liquid IV product that I really love. It's Liquid IV Energy Multiplier.
Yes.
Thursday is a very big day on the Mike O'Mara Show, so I usually find that this benefits me greatly when I am on Thursday's program. It's got natural caffeine, electrolytes, vitamins, amino acids. This is sugar-free, which I adhere to. And this is the strawberry kiwi.
There are two flavors that play so well together.
Yeah,
and
the strawberry kiwi is in this bag. I haven't hit it yet. I am drinking the raspberry lemonade, which is really good, too.
Yes.
Look, Liquid IV is a part of my life. You know it. I drink it every day. You see me drink it every day. Look, summer is done. You need to refocus this fall. Take my advice. Ditch the glitch. Zero sugar, zero crash from Liquid IV. You need the new Liquid IV Energy Multiplier with sugar-free hydrating energy. It's scientifically formulated to support physical energy, hydration, focus, mood. and social stamina. Isn't this great?
That's the motto now at Liquid IV. Isn't this great?
It's hydration and energy all in one. It's made with electrolytes, vitamins, and natural caffeine for a jitter-free, sugar-free lift. It comes in two mouth-watering flavors, sugar-free energy strawberry kiwi and blackberry lemonade. Plus, it features three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. Please join me. My name is Mike O'Mara. I am the king of Hydration Nation. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Ditch the glitch, people. Zero sugar, zero crash from Liquid IV. Tear poor, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with the code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order with the code TMOS at liquidiv.com.
All right. Thank you, Your Majesty, King of Hydration Nation.
It's time for Rob to have a little fun with Mike.
Oh.
And this is all about, ladies and gentlemen, the human mind. And Josh, I know you will enjoy playing along at home as well, along with everybody in the chat group today. Hearty har, har har, I am ready to believe you.
I think this actually affects all of us. Let's sign in with our ages. Mike, you are 66. I am 54. Josh?
45.
Okay, so we've got three decades covered. And this comes from the Times.
I disagree. No, go ahead. Mike, ahead. All right.
There are a ton of Hallmark birthday cards about getting older, but no one says they're reaching their peak mental acuity at age 80.
When you stumble over no one, you're confusing my elderly mind. Did you say no one?
No
say
it one. Again. No one is at their peak mental acuity at age 80. By the time you get to 80, you're not there. There's a new study in the journal Intelligence about a metric called the Cognitive Personality Functioning Index, which is a measure of how intelligence, judgment, and other key traits evolve over the average lifespan. And this is not just random. They've been doing this for years, and they finally released some results. It shows a pattern. It says
everybody in the chat group giving their ages. Rolando, 42. Scoob, 61.
Oh, I thought those were super chats.
No. We could use, by the way,
a
$66 super chat would make me feel awfully good right now. You know that?
To honor your age?
Yeah.
My age today.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone, super chat your own age.
That's fine, too. He's better
now.
At making money than I am.
Do it now, because it'll be more expensive next year to do this.
Right. Jim, how about a $47 super chat from you, pal, for busting my balls? Anyway, go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
There is a pattern. Mm-hmm. The overall functioning of the human brain reaches its peak between the ages of 55 and 60, but not everything follows the same trajectory. Now, if that's true, we're on each side of it. Neither of us are at peak mental acuity right now.
But you're the closest.
I'm closer, yeah. So, but I don't even get it till next year.
No, I would obviously, maintain that after 60, it gets worse and worse. If you are under 60, come on, let's be real. I can take it. I can tolerate it. By the way, I think I'm in the category of most people my age when I think you fear as you get older. Thank you, Scoob, who's 1 year, 0.99 years old.
Yeah, he's
there
a toddler.
Thank you.
Not
thank
enough
you
for
much.
A super jet element, though, but we do appreciate it.
I would say that one of my having so many people have been touched by Alzheimer's, but having on my brother-in-law's side of the family, having that disease touch his family with his sibling who was much younger than she should have been when she got that. I think it's something we all think about, and it's something that really would be, especially with a young son. That's something I would hate to see happen.
That honestly, having the son is like doing a crossword puzzle. It keeps you young. It keeps your mind firing.
I sure hope so. And I think doing this kind of work, hopefully, is helpful because we move at a pretty decent clip here.
Yeah, and also we move at a pretty decent clip here. Mike, fluid.
Thank you, Jim. Jim. For another $1.99.
Yeah, come on. How's that super chat?
Mr. President.
There we go. I said, if you can't come, I'll make a reservation up at the Bonefish.
We don't handle that here.
There you go. I don't arrange that kind of thing. Are you kidding me?
Hello?
Mike,
Hello?
Let's break it down. You want to break it down a little bit? Fluid intelligence.
Yeah.
That includes reasoning.
What intelligence?
Fluid. like, you know, fluid.
I got up to
liquid.
Pee at about 3:45 this morning.
I'm sorry that doesn't work.
Thank you, Chris
work.
Arnold. We appreciate that. This is as close to 52 as I can get. You know, we'll take quantity. Sure. We'll take quantity. That's fine. And I don't mean dollar quantity. I mean number of Super Chats. That's how we fuel this little thing.
And I need Josh to make a ruling here. I know that because of the way YouTube
That's
takes
a $10.
That is $10. Okay, yes. I ran the wrong element then. My bad.
There it is. You got the sound. All right. Yes. That's good. Very
so
good.
Fluid intelligence,
that.
Mike, is reasoning, memory span, and processing speed. It tends to peak in the early 20s and then fades steadily for the rest of your life.
I get up very, very early in the morning to do show prep, and I was doing it today, and I go between sources.
Yeah.
And what will happen to me periodically, I'll tell you one thing I have always done cognitively that is, I mean, for as long as I can, this goes back to way, way back when I was prepping this show, I would print out the news.
Yeah.
And there are days when I am super tired where I will print stories. I've almost printed every story twice on occasion.
I've done it.
Where I will do that, where you're just thinking you need to do it again when you really
you're
don't.
Right by your printer, right? You're
well,
like
no, I'm in the other room, so I can't hear it operating.
Oh, because I'm in the same situation. I'll go to my printer sometimes, and I'll print it a story three times.
Absolutely. And so, okay, well, it's nice to know I'm not in that. But there are times when I'll say I'm going in between, say, a TMZ and an AP News.
Right.
And I know that I'm going to AP News after I look at TMZ, and then I'll get sidetracked by a video that I'm not going to include in the news, a la Gene Simmons, and I'll forget where I was going next. That makes me feel old right there.
I've always heard that the ability to move on to one thing without ending the previous thing, just like an ever forward type thing like that, even if it requires, you know, being disorganized or losing your place, that's a sign of genius.
Yeah.
You've got too much going on in your head.
Maybe we can cover it in the bonus show today because I wanted to let you know that physical organization.
Yeah.
Is a tremendous challenge for me. Feng shui, that type of thing.
Really?
I as far as organizing thoughts and how to do a show and all that, that's easy for me. But as far as I've got a garage now that I have, I look at the walls and I say, this is not right. And I could do better. And I just don't know.
Well, you actually, your garage is organized and you don't have a lot of things. I mean, you're sort of.
Yeah, but the baseball has begun to grow.
Okay. And fishing, I'm sure.
Here's a tip for you.
Yes.
Go out to your garage, take a picture of all the crap.
Yeah.
Upload it to ChatGPT and say, how can I organize this?
Really?
And it'll draw you a little layout of put the baseball equipment here, put the fishing poles here.
Wow.
That's yeah, and you know what? It'll suck. You'll hate it because it was made by a robot who doesn't have to really
stuff like that, it works really well.
I think it would, Rob. I really do, as you want to hate on it. But go ahead. I was interrupting.
Here is a bit of good news. Crystallized intelligence, which has nothing to do with Billy Crystal, by the way.
Are we clear?
Crystal. Crystallized intelligence is the accumulation of knowledge and experience, and that builds for your entire life. So, you know, the fact that you're old, you have more crystallized intelligence ready to go. Now, personality traits also mature and increase throughout early childhood before leveling off later in life, like conscientiousness, which is the ability to see things through, and emotional stability, the ability to keep calm under stress. But they do get better as you get older.
What gets better? What? Hold on. Now you're confusing.
Being more conscientious. It gets better and then levels off. It doesn't decay. It stays. You'll stay more conscientious.
In other words, you'll be if you're thoughtful, you're going to be thoughtful all the way through.
And if you're emotionally stable, you're going to be a disc jockey.
Because I'll be honest with you.
You lose patience, right?
I'm curious about that because you think of old people being curmudgeon-y.
You gain patience as you get older and then it levels off. So you're not going to get any more patient. But if you start out patient, you'll stay patient.
Man,
your patience as an older person.
Some of these old people who have leveled out, who are very impatient now.
You like, really? I don't like? Buy that necessarily.
I think that's the other way around.
I think it's. I think it declines. I think you get more twitchy and more agitated with patients when you get older. Or these are impatient people that are just no. I just don't buy into that.
All right.
You level off and you don't get worse. I would think you get worse.
What about your moral reasoning? The ability to weigh competing principles.
Is that supposed to
as you get
off?
Older, it actually produces sounder judgment about fairness and duty. You become fairer.
100% agree.
As you
that.
Get older, okay, good.
Totally agree with that. You know, I was thinking as I was driving back from a coaching session with my kid yesterday that my angst, my anxiety when I'm behind the wheel, I'm not as bad as I used to be, but hey, Rolando. Rolando's listening since the 106.7 days and still my favorite show. Well, we love you, Rolando. Thank you for the
buddy.
$20 super chat. I think that I think about when I don't have to be somewhere.
Right.
But I still will get frustrated if I'm behind someone who's not moving fast.
But
and I think that's a personality disorder. I really
let's
believe
say that. You're.
That's
I know
a control
you.
Thing.
Yeah, I know you hate so. Lines, but yeah. Are you better at waiting in a line now? And I'm not talking about like for concert tickets. I'm just talking like maybe a line five people.
Ten times worse.
Are you worse?
Oh, not in the way that I'm going to bitch about it.
Right.
But I don't. Or maybe I am. But
I hope you do, or we don't have a show.
No, I don't. I don't do well. I don't. I'm worse than I used to be. I hate it.
I don't think
anything's worth it. That's why you can go to an amusement park and I can't.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm more patient now than I was in the past. Now,
okay.
Mike, you're still in the age where you are gaining financial literacy. It builds into a person's late 60s.
Bullshit.
Well, you don't. It's literacy, not money.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you know where the money went.
I'm driving along with my kid coming home, and they got this like brand new cancer treatment center that's the multi tens of millions of dollars. Mm. And I'm like, I wonder when that's going to – they said it was a 9-month ramp up because they have to do so much testing with this equipment. Wonder when that's going to start. And my son from the back goes, Dad, I go to school with a kid. His father owns that. They are so wealthy.
There was a study last week
that
whatever this is, Gen Z or whatever the current, like 20 to 30-year-olds, they went around and said, how much money do you need to live to be financially well off?
Mm-hmm. Happy, said,
Yeah. Every other generation, it was around 120,000.
Right.
A year.
That generation said $600,000 to $700,000.
Yeah. I don't. That doesn't surprise me at all. That doesn't surprise me one little bit. Absolutely.
If you were a program director, Mike, would you put someone on the air, a lady disc jockey, and call her Gen X?
Jen. Hi, I'm Jen.
I'm Gen X.
We got some wonderful stuff coming up, all written by AI.
Right. Mike. She then pass it to Gen Z.
Yes. Gen Z's coming up. She'll do the graveyard shift.
Mike, because of a lifetime of dealing with bills, you're better with money mentally, and also you're less likely to throw good money after bad, which is known as the sunk cost fallacy. You'll let
If I had it, I would throw it away.
Really?
If I had it, I would throw it away like I did when I had it, which just means I don't have it now. I would if I got more of it, I'd be doing it. This is weird. It all ties together because I've been thinking about stuff like this.
It's called alimony.
I'm thinking about how much fun it would be. Maybe I do have that in the bonus this week. We'll see. I don't know.
Okay.
I've already done some work.
Cognitive flexibility, Mike, is the ability to shift smoothly between tasks or strategies when circumstances change. In a way, this is you not finishing your show prep and being nonlinear in it. And cognitive empathy is the ability to get what other people are thinking. Both of these fade with age. So if you are more likely now to go away from finishing an article because you're looking at a YouTube video, that's more likely now than it was when you were a kid.
So your attention span is shorter now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Maybe that has something to do with like me not watching as much, stuff or reading as many novels as I used to.
Now,
and all
your
that.
Total lack of empathy, Mike. Your total lack of empathy, has that gotten worse with age?
I think I'm more empathetic than I was.
I actually do too. To be honest,
I really do. I think I am the older I get.
But they say that throughout your middle age, the gains offset the losses. The late 50s emerge as your sweet spot. And you're not that far from your
middle age. Middle age is 36, folks.
Well, it used to be. I don't think they think it is anymore, do they?
I don't think middle age is 36 anymore.
Well, middle age is 36. The average lifespan of an American is, what, 76 years old? So, you know, do the math.
It'll be 38 then.
Yeah, 38. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, when you say that's the middle age, that sounds like
50. It's not 50.
No. But I think that it just sounds like it's from the age of the Spanish flu.
45 to 60 is considered middle age in the U.S.
Okay.
All right.
Well, so we're going to live to 120, Mike. Piece of cake.
That means I'm officially on the final stretch.
No, Mike, you're doing great.
Thank you.
I think all of us are doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that my peak years are yet to come.
Good for you, Rob Spiewak. That's exciting.
You too, Josh.
I bring more of that to the show because it makes me think, and I like to think, and I like to make people think. And thank you, everybody, for the super chats. Got more show coming up. A lot of stuff going on. Are you having trouble shutting your brain off at night? Souls Out of Office Gummies will help you calm yourself, helping you relax, quiet the noise. They will help you drift off naturally with the perfect mix of CBD and THC. Try that little breathing thing I do with a Soul Gummy. You're going to go right to sleep. They deliver a smooth buzz that melts stress, lifts your mood, and sparks creativity. You can choose your vibe from a light 1.5 milligram microdose to the bold new 15 milligram gummy when you want to fully unplug. Try their out-of-office beverage, a refreshing alcohol-free way to unwind solo or with friends. Tastes so good, and when it's deep restorative sleep you're after, Soul's Sleepy Gummies have you covered. Every product is hemp-derived, delicious, crafted with wellness in mind, so you can actually feel good about feeling good. These things can make your mindset 100% groovy, baby. And nowadays, that's a good thing. Bring on the good vibes and treat yourself to Soul. Today, right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off. And I didn't mention the flavor. What flavor on your 15s that you like, Rob? What are you
doing? It's cherry lime, and they are as good as any piece of candy you've ever had, but they make you feel much better than when you eat candy.
Candy is dandy, but sex won't rot your teeth.
Good night.
I actually had a pen in the 70s that I stole from my sister that said that.
How much of that was based on your cognitive ability?
They were at their peak. They were their peak skills.
And how about, isn't today your sister's birthday? Or was it yesterday?
Oh my God, you remembered and I didn't.
Well, it was on my Facebook thing.
Hold on a second.
You got to send her a picture of a really nice gift, Mike, if you're going to have her.
I hope it's today.
I don't know.
Would have been helped to remind Mike yesterday.
Well, I would assume he would be the one reminding me. It's his sister. I just saw it on Facebook.
Today is her. All right, hold on. Let me look.
Well, can we call her?
16th or the 15th.
We could call her on the show.
I'd like that.
I don't want to screw that up, though, because I don't remember, because I'm not thoughtful that way.
Well, let me look on the Facebook. I'll tell you.
Okay, double check.
Let's just call and ask her.
Hey, all right. When's your birthday again?
let me give the if Josh, if I send you the phone number, will we all be on with her?
Yeah.
We can do it
that way? Oh, that's really cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. All right, just to say. Rob's going to look up that, and this is a perfect opportunity.
It says October 15th is her birthday, which was yesterday.
Oh, belated.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, she's just a little younger than my mom. Did you know that?
All right. Hold on a second. All right. There we go.
She's checked in at Napili Beach in Lahaina, Hawaii. She's been to Philadelphia. She's been to Hancock Point, Maine. And she's following so many people. She loved the Sew and Save Shop, Mike. And also the Lifestyle Health and Fitness, Well Effect. She gives them a good review.
I'm just trying to get this here. Sorry.
She lives now in Boston, Josh.
Such an old fart. This is cognitively where I've got everything checked here, and then it says deselect all friends, all fields.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
No, that doesn't sound right.
All right, done. All right.
Live in Boston, her and her husband, Josh, walking distance from the baseball diamond up there. The Fenway.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then and, that's where I stayed walking distance from Fenway.
I wonder if you stayed in their neighborhood.
I sent it to you. I'm a moron. Right. I thought it said deselect. But it's Fields. It's not Friends, so I can read. Yes. So yesterday was her birthday, and we can sing happy birthday to my sister. I think that would be very, very thoughtful.
Do you think she'll answer?
Let's see. I have a mobile number and a home number. I'm assuming
I would go with the mobile. Mm-hmm. And this is very, very exciting. And we haven't had her on the show for a very long time.
A long time, yeah.
Can you hear that?
Yep, I can hear it loud and clear. All right, and we'll sing.
Oh, God. She's saying, oh, God, he's calling.
It's not going to recognize the number, though.
No.
Oh, that's true.
Give her a heads up to a 410 number.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she has so many friends in Baltimore.
We'll see what happens. Probably not going to pick up. Damn it. Damn it, Jim.
She would have picked up yesterday.
Probably playing tennis.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Isn't that Kathy's voice on that recording?
No, it is not.
Oh, I thought it was.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
This is belated. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kathy. Happy birthday to you. Hello, sister. I know it's belated. Wanted to say happy birthday, and you probably didn't recognize the number. I'll talk to you later, and looking forward to seeing you at Christmas time. Love to all.
And if
so
you don't,
long.
If you don't hear this message, please know that we called anyway.
Yes, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye, then.
Are we clear?
We're clear.
Crystal.
It says I'm popping, so I'm going to step out for a second.
Oh, you are?
And I'll be right back. I don't want the people to think I'm a,
I didn't think you were popping. I thought it might have been the phone.
All right.
The phone connection.
I'll be
But he'll leave anyway.
He will.
He's already been on this. He was already on the exit button.
Sometimes that goes. Want to remind everybody while we have this moment here that we have something very special coming up on October. Is it 25th?
25th.
The 25th of October.
A week from Saturday.
We were talking about it before the show. We're not going to let you into our little secrets, but we've got a very special costume show that we will be doing for you, 7 o'clock cocktail hour on October 25th. That is a Saturday night at 7 p.m. Where we will be showing you our very best Halloween fun.
And you know what? Just like last year, I'd like to see listener costumes.
Listener costumes are welcome.
If you're in costume, we will welcome you on the show as well.
If you are in costume, you automatically get a 2-point bonus.
That's exciting. And so mark that on your calendar. Saturday night, October 25th at 7 p.m., we will be doing our Halloween. What did we call it yesterday?
It was Adult-a-ween Cocktacular.
Which will be, that's perfect.
I hate how easy that came out of my mouth.
Yes, wonderful. Rob, do you have beautiful video for us? I
have a stack of it for you, Mike.
All right, very good. We're looking forward to that. We've got beautiful video coming up, ladies and gentlemen. But first, hey, caffeine junkies, do we have the Charlie's Choice music?
This is not the Charlie's Choice music.
No, it is not. That's why I asked, do you have the Charlie's Choice music?
Well, I do, as a matter of fact.
AI music we've added.
Hey, caffeine junkies. Charlie's Choice coffee is still awesome, and you can reorder or subscribe for some right now. I got to use my Western voice when I do this.
Yeah, it sounds Western-y.
All right, hold on. Don't just drink coffee. Experience it. You got to have coffee. So we want to give you the best. Try pairing it with pumpkin pie, or a bowl of sour cream, or a huge crock of guacamole.
All of Josh's favorites.
Guacamole. It goes with everything. Even Stephen Baldwin's sunflower seeds.
Sunflower seeds!
Hi, Steve.
Yum. Charlie's Choice is available in whole bean or fresh ground.
Get a one-time order or save money with a subscription. And get our exclusive Charlie's Choice blend delivered right to your door. This premium medium roast blend is the best and freshest coffee you can find. It's crafted in small batches and roasted to order in St. Augustine, Florida. So support small business and enjoy a cup of Charlie today. But unlike Charlie, make sure you don't drink it while fulfilling your National Guard duties. Get yours at the TMOS store at MikeOMaraShow.com. Start your day right with Charlie's Choice because...
Charlie, where are you? Damn you, Charles.
Start your day right with Charlie's Choice. Cognitive decline begins at 50 years old, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Because...
Split to the last sip.
Thank you, Charlie. There's the laugh. Yes,
Charlie's Choice.
Thank you, Charlie.
All the buttons showed up.
When Charlie says, duh, it's got to be good. Now it's time for some beautiful video.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
We're going to be Jeff over there in Leesburg,
All American.
Virginia.
In Wichita. K-E-Y-N.
Never miss those jingles, though. Those are always ready to go. Never miss a goddamn jingle on any show ever in the history of shows. They will be there when they're supposed to be there every time.
Can you control your bitterness towards the Jam creative?
I think the cognitive decline is responsible for my mood swings.
So hold on. Is it my cognitive decline causing your mood swing?
No, my cognitive.
Not his.
Okay. Well, I think actually
your
it could
jingles
be both.
Is show prep.
Yeah, Charlie's Choice.
Oh, Charlie's Choice is great. My two favorite AIs from yesterday, they both enjoy Elvis. And maybe after this, I can use a bit of slang and Josh can tell me if I get it right. I thought this one was great.
Hold on, cut the music. I'm sick and goddamn tired of all you folks making us do stupid stuff, making us yell 6-7 and whatnot. I just want to sing, goddammit.
So, you know, that video,
wow,
Josh.
That stopped me in my tracks. That was so well done.
And it sounds like
a lot of it's been crappy. Some of it's really like rushed together and his lips don't even move. Can you roll that one again? I'm just curious.
Josh, is he just saying 6-7 because he's bored with it? That's what it means?
6-7 is like filler for kids.
It's juggling balls.
Yeah, they do 6-7, you do this motion, and it's like an estimate, like it's 6 or 7.
Six, seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't like that one, but here's Angry Elvis.
Hold on, cut the music! I'm sick and goddamn tired of all you folks making us do stupid stuff, making us yell 6-7 and whatnot. I just want to sing, goddammit!
My son would laugh out loud at that.
Yeah.
That's 12-year-old humor right there.
Does your son appreciate Elvis at all? Does he know who he is? Would he think it's funny on that level or just the 6-7 level?
I have not exposed him to Elvis Presley, so I really can't answer that question, but I might try it today in the car. I might play a little Elvis in the. He knows a lot of old music.
Good.
They're into that.
Well, a lot of that shows up on TikTok, like Connie Francis's record was a hit.
You know, Josh, every time I bring something up, does your kid follow? Like, does he bring up some old music sometimes? Does he do that?
I have not heard him bring up old music, no.
All I know is that with his interests and Michael's, I'm looking forward to our cruise in the summer.
They overlap all the time.
They are going to have so much fun.
I can't wait.
They really, really are.
Second piece of AI. I love this because capturing Elvis in a genuine laugh when he was alive was rare. And this is a good job of Elvis with Mr. Rogers.
Elvis, what do you think about Bofa?
What's Bofa?
Bofa D's nuts in your mouth.
You got me, baby.
I got to go for a repeat. I laughed over it. I'm sorry. That is awesome. Oh, my God.
It's a really good one.
So, Elvis, what do you think about Bofa?
What's Bofa?
Bofa D's nuts in your mouth.
Oh, man. You got me, baby.
And it's like he just left
that one all day.
Like he just left the 1968 comeback special and stopped by Fred's house in the neighborhood because he's all in black leather.
That's fantastic.
Happy anniversary, Al Pacino and Robert De Niro. They've been friends for 50 years and they look great.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Right. Have we been doing this for a long time? Right. We've been doing that. I mean, I like Al Pacino. I like Robert De Niro, but it's like it's always Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, it seems like.
Well, if you really want them to look young, go ahead and photograph them in moody black and white when you have them do a commercial for your clothes. Here's the two friends of 50 years.
warmth was never about the outside. It was always about what was happening on the inside. Warmth comes from the walks and the talks, from pulling up a chair and having a chat.
Doesn't it look like an ad for a soup kitchen?
It's not doing it for me.
No.
No. I tell you what we need.
Well, Elvis, what do you think about Bofa?
What's Bofa?
Bofa these nuts in your mouth.
Oh, man.
You got me, baby.
The laugh. Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, I always feel like, maybe not Pacino as much as De Niro, but I always feel like De Niro's put upon
in everything
he
does. He lost me
when
he started doing Saturday Night Live on the reg, and yeah. Also when he did the movie The Intern. That's mm-hmm. below, Mike, that movie's below us.
Yeah.
And he sucks. Did it. So,
yeah,
okay.
It's a drag.
If you think of an influencer that wants to post a TikTok video about Starbucks and the pumpkin spice latte, I bet you could conjure up a picture of this lady in your head.
Okay.
But before we do that, just know there's a new trend. It's stupid, where you carve a pumpkin out and you ask the people at Starbucks to put your drink in your pumpkin.
Starbucks will put my drink in this pumpkin.
Oh, there you go.
Is there a cup inside of
it? Hope we get the order.
No.
Question for you. So y'all can put the drinks in like my own cup, right?
Can we put the drinks in what, love?
In my own cup.
Yeah.
Can you see me right now?
Yes, I can.
I have a pumpkin. Can you put it in my pumpkin?
Oh, that is so cute. Do you know how many ounces that is?
Honestly, I don't. Let's just do a tall.
A tall?
I feel like a tall would fit in it.
Please give us the order.
You will.
Can I please get an iced pumpkin spice latte?
Okay, simple.
And a pumpkin spice latte?
Yes, please.
Wow, that's good.
With extra whipped cream. I'm sorry.
Ice, please.
Alrighty. So a tall iced pumpkin spice latte.
She's sweet. She's a nice lady. She's a nice lady.
How many cake pops do you think she bought?
Okay, you have to go.
Just
there.
Curious.
Rob,
I mean,
and I
want
fat guys. We can make fat jokes. All right, go ahead. Yes.
And let's close with this. This lady
body
is
body shamers,
Mike. This is a really annoying lady. I ain't gonna lie to you, but her problem is sincere. She bought some leather pants. Always a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
She bought them at the Gap. I didn't even know they were still in business, but they have a weird sort of a quirk, these leather pants.
The Gap, you better count your days, because I haven't been this embarrassed since fourth grade when I was playing musical chairs and my chair broke and I fell on my bottom, okay? Because what do you mean I'm at a restaurant and I drop something accidentally and I go to pick it up and then,
she squatted down.
That did not come from my... No. Them pants.
That makes me want to go buy them.
What do you mean? No. They're expensive.
They are. They are expensive. All right. Just closing with a laugh, Mike.
That's
I'm afraid
awesome.
That's all I have for you today.
That was a good one, Rob. That
Thank
was a
you.
Lot of fun. I can watch that Fred Rogers thing all day long. And the pants are good, too. We gotta take our leave now. We will be back with Must take our leave. Brand new bonus episode coming up tomorrow. Thank you for the super chats. We always appreciate those. And subscribe to our bonus show. Otherwise, you won't be joining us tomorrow. So there's that. I'm not going to arrange that kind of thing for you. You got to do it yourself, all right?
We
End
don't
of
arrange
story.
That.
So there you go. For Josh Sorokin and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Most intelligent show on the radio.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Here's Johnny.
How about that?
Well, I don't get a brain man cold, but they're